Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Matthew chapter 6 is where I'd like to turn your attention. Beginning to read there, verse number 16. Matthew chapter 6. Good old-fashioned teaching tonight. I've taught on this subject on many occasions before. Fasting. Amen. Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 16. Moreover, when ye fast, someone point at the middle of your... He's talking about us. Amen. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites, of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head, and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Amen. In Matthew chapter 9, another portion, beginning at verse 14. Then came to him the disciples of John, saying, why do we and the Pharisees fast oft, but thy disciples fast not? And Jesus said unto them, can the children of the bridegroom mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then shall they fast. No man putteth a piece of new cloth on an old garment, for that which is put in it to fill up taketh from the garment, and the rent is made worse. Neither do men put new wine into old bottles, else the bottles break, and the wine runneth out, and the bottles perish. But they put new wine into new bottles, and both are preserved. Fasting. It's our topic. Would you pray with me? Lord, I love you. I thank you. We ask even now in the precious name of Jesus. Lord, your will, God, be accomplished here. I ask, Lord, even in Jesus' name, Lord, to let your anointing, Lord, be upon us. Lord, let your word, Lord, enter our hearing, that it would touch our heart. Lord, that our spirit would understand what the Holy Ghost would have us to do. Thank you, Lord, for it. We pray your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Someone say fasting. In the several places in the Scripture, it talks about fasting. Quite a few places. I'm going to talk about them tonight. But it also talks about afflicting your soul. It's talking about fasting. Amen. But fasting is certainly one of the most powerful and effective forces we can employ against the enemy. Amen. It's very, very powerful. Rewards accompanying fasting are numerous. Spiritual, physical, just on every level, every aspect of our lives are affected when we fast. Amen. Our goal here is to point out the importance, the effectiveness, in fact, I'll even put essentiality, the essentialness of fasting. Biblical material and just good practices enforce the need for us to make fasting a regular practice. Things are wrought through fasting that nothing else can accomplish. Amen. Victories are won. Power is received. Deliverance performed. Revelation is given through fasting. Amen. The influence of the fall of man has its hold on us. Sin has its hold on us because we are in the flesh. I'm a man, you're a woman, or you're a person. And because we are in the flesh, we have a human nature that is weak and that is likely prone to, drawn by, enticed with sin. Just everywhere you look, it's so readily available, sin. Man fell through eating. Don't eat of that tree. Just one command, and man couldn't handle it. Neither could woman. They messed up through eating. Our eating is a natural reaction. It is an inborn, natural, common, everyday sensation that we have, hunger. There is a connection between excessive eating and drinking, I might add, and there's a connection between eating and drinking excessively and man's indulgence in sin. There's a connection there. If you can control eating, man, you've got power over the flesh. Because our flesh likes what it likes and it wants more of it. Right now. But if you can have dominion over eating, you've got power. Amen. In Noah's day, eating and drinking and other vices, and the flood washed all that away. Matthew chapter 24, beginning at verse number 36. But of the day and the hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. People were just doing what comes natural every day, and they were oblivious to the coming judgment of God. They didn't, you know, Noah preached to them. He was a preacher of righteousness. Scriptures tells us that. And yet, they didn't hear. They didn't listen. They didn't understand that the judgment of God was imminent. It was going to happen soon. I tell you, our world is just like that. Our world is going just as fast as they can, eating and drinking and living life without a reconciliation with God, without getting things right with God. Sodom and Gomorrah, along with immorality, was full of bread. Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 49. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom, pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and the needy. Sodom and Gomorrah, immorality. Ezekiel spoke of it. Old Testament prophets. Israel sat down to eat and to drink, and they rose up to play. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 6 and 7. Now these things were our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted, neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. It's what our world is about. It's what is all around us. It's everywhere, every day that we could possibly look. And yet, fasting is essential for us to be able to temper our own desires. It's putting a control knob on our flesh. We got to learn how to say no. And it takes practice. Amen. We will be spiritually empowered, I'm telling you, when we fast. Amen. There's something supernatural about a fast that you are doing for the Lord. I want to get into it right away, but I'm going to temper my comments. What it's not and what it is, I'm going to get into that. Excessive things abound. I would say primarily due to the lack of discipline. People just go uncontrolled. They take it to the other degree, to another degree, farther than people have taken it before. But when we have a discipline of fasting, it tempers that tendency in us. Amen. You learn how to control the flesh by the Spirit. We really are in a spiritual battle. And fasting is one of the powerful weapons in our spiritual arsenal. Jesus' answer to John's disciples concerning fasting. In our opening scripture, Matthew 9. Oh, wait, we didn't read that yet. In Matthew chapter 9, verses 14 to 17. We did read that. Yes, we'd read that. The children of the bridegroom did not fast while the bridegroom was with them. Jesus was with his disciples, was the reason the disciples weren't fasting while Jesus was with them. But then when Jesus completed his earthly ministry and went on, the disciples did fast. There's a time for us to fast, and then there'll be a time that we won't need to fast anymore. But right now, while we're in the flesh and we're trying to get control of that flesh by the Spirit, it's time for us to fast. Amen. A new piece of cloth is not put on an old garment. It just makes it worse. New wine is not put into old bottles or skins in that day. Jesus Christ is the bridegroom. While he was on earth, that's why the disciples didn't fast. He went up. They did fast. The Holy Ghost will quicken our mortal bodies to be raised up. Amen. It's the Holy Ghost. It's the Spirit of God that's going to quicken our bodies to be taken up to be with him in the air. Amen. Jesus had to go away before the Holy Ghost could come in our lives. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus, for the Holy Ghost. Amen. In John chapter 14, verse 26, and also chapter 16, 7 through 13, I'm not reading all that right now, but such an experience could not be contained in old garments and bottles. The Holy Ghost, accompanied by prayer and fasting, is needed in renewed, regenerated vessels. God wants to make us more like him. And we're not going to be more like Jesus when we only exercise carnal activities. We got to put spiritual things in our life that we can understand the Spirit. Another example, the parable of the virgins. They had to keep their vessels and lamps filled and burning. It's in Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 to 13. But I'm trying to conserve time. I'm going to use a couple of examples in fasting during this teaching. Let me do this. Hopefully, I'll get done a few minutes before 8:30. And what I'm going to ask for is there somebody here that has an example of God doing something when you fasted? Think about it ahead of time. You got about half an hour or so. Did God help you or lead you or help you when you fasted? Amen. Those virgins had to have oil in their lamps, and their lamps had to be lit. Really, it's telling us we need to be full of the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost needs to be active in our lives when Jesus comes. When the coming of the Lord happens, it's not time to go looking for oil. It's too late. It's not time to, I need to get the Holy Ghost. No, you need the Holy Ghost ahead of time. You need to have your lamp lit. You need to be living under the influence of the presence of God in your life so that we're ready when the bridegroom cometh. Fasting now is going to help us control the flesh, that the Spirit can be predominant, that the Spirit, that we can be led by the Holy Ghost. Amen. So what is fasting? The Webster Dictionary, fasting is to keep from eating all or certain foods. To eat very little or nothing. Webster's version. Fasting comes from the Hebrew word, which I'm not very good at reading Hebrew. T-S-U-W-M. Tsum, I think. So you might pronounce that. Meaning, get this, not eating. to abstain from food. So it's very clear. That's what fasting is in Hebrew. The Greek, New Testament portion says nestis, N-E-S-T-I-S, means not eating to abstain from food. Same meaning, exactly. So fasting is not eating, abstain from food. Fasting is not dieting. Lots of diets. Fasting is not a diet. Fasting is not missing a meal when you are too busy to get something to eat. Fasting is not being without food because you don't have money to buy food. Fasting is not a hunger strike. I don't get my way or I'm going to... It's not a hunger strike. Fasting is not a physical health obtaining act. Fasting does good things to your body. I'll admit that. I'll give you that. But that's not a spiritual fast. Good things will happen to your body when you control the spirit. Amen. But our flesh needs to be put under control by the Spirit. Fasting is doing without food in order to achieve spiritual strength, answers, and direction. Now, fasting, and I'm going to back this up with Scripture, assists in receiving the Holy Ghost. Amen. Acts chapter 10, verse number 30. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour. And the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing. He got his answer after fasting. Amen. I'm telling you, God gives us answers. Does anybody here remember when we were in the storefront? There's several of us that were here. And they kicked us out of our building. We were in the hotel for months. We were doing home meetings at that time also. And we would, just about every service, just about every meeting we had, we would pray that God would give us an answer. You know, that God would help us to have a church. It seemed almost impossible. We didn't have a big pile of money. We barely had a little pile of money. but we did believe God. I used to pick up people in Norwich and ride right by this building. And almost every time, very frequently, week after week after week, in Jesus' name. Because this building was for sale for years. Vacant, empty, nobody in here. In Jesus' name, God, show us, give us favor. We were in that storefront. We put a bid on this building. We got up, you know, we met the broker and we viewed the building and we did a proposal and we put in our offer. Man, we got shut down so fast. we didn't have, you know, they were wanting $500,000, $500,000. They wanted 20% down. 100 grand up front. And then I talked to the bank. They said, well, for that amount of money, you're going to need, for a nonprofit without any background, you're going to have assets. Five members of your church, if they'll sign as trustees that are homeowners so that you can, they could garnish your home if the church fails. Five people to put up their houses. Not only didn't we have, we didn't have any of it. We didn't have nothing that they asked for. And so we got turned down. Anybody remember that? I don't know, there's some people remember that. But that's the honest truth. We were so far from qualifying for this building that we just got shut down cold. But we kept praying. We kept asking. And then Brother Petoskey told me, well, I know I rent from a United Methodist pastor, and I've met the superintendent of Connecticut, and I know her. She's a very nice lady. Here's her name and her phone number and her address, and contact her. And their organization owns that building, and maybe she can influence or, you know, be of a help. So contact her. So I prayed and I asked God, Lord, what should we do? And I asked our church, just like we're doing right now, I asked our church for 1 week, would you fast with me? And I want to ask God, Lord, what should I say? What can I offer that hadn't already been offered? What could I do that we didn't already do? What is there something that I could, which way should I go? You know the answer was, do the same thing you already did, put it in a letter, and send it to the superintendent. That was the answer that came. Do the same thing we already got turned down on? Okay, just we did what we already did. We offered them $400,000 and $2,000 a month. Keep half as a down payment. We'll buy it in 3 years. Let us rent it. We'll do the improvements. We'll do all the work. We won't ask you for any help or any financial aid, nothing. We won't ask you for anything. We'll improve and care for the building. And if we are unsuccessful, at the end of 3 years, you just keep all the money and the building's back improved and it's yours. But at the end of 3 years, we have an option to buy it. And so at the end of 4 years, it was a little slow. We bought the building. Amen. But that answer came by prayer and fasting. I didn't know what to do, what to say, how to find it. And it was the same offer they got turned down on. And yet, after prayer and fasting, things changed. I tell you, God can change things. You might be at the end of your rope, and I know God is the change maker. Amen. God makes change. Way maker. Amen. God will make the way. Amen. Some types of devils cannot be cast out without fasting and prayer. Mark chapter 9, beginning at verse 14. And when the disciples came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed. And running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, What question ye with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples, and they should cast him out, and they could not. And he answered him, and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. Jumping down a little bit, verse 28. Same Matthew chapter 9, verse 28. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. When you tried everything else, when you did all that you can do, when you've done everything that you're able to do, seen all the doctors, did all the prescriptions, did all the things that you think might help, and things are still not better, or the situation is beyond your control, I'll tell you what, prayer and fasting can make a difference. Amen. Fasting is to be unto God. It's not because the pastor told you you have to fast. I'm not. Please don't twist my words. Yes, I am advocating that our church body participate in a fast. But I'm not making anybody do it. And if you do it unto the Lord. Get something from God. Ask God about the things in your life, in your church, in your home. Ask God for the things about you. Amen. And that God would help this church. Amen. Fasting is unto God. We're not supposed to try to get the attention of people. Matthew chapter 6, verse 18. That thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Amen. Daniel and his companions obtained skill, understanding, and wisdom. Daniel chapter 9, verse 20 to 22. And whilst I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am come forth to give thee skill and understanding. I'm telling you, God can give you favor when you didn't know what to do or how to do it. God can show you what to do. Amen. Types of fasting. what I'll title normal fast. The normal fast, food is not eaten, but you drink water. Luke chapter 4, verse number 2, being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing. This is talking about Jesus. He's starting his ministry. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. Jesus practiced fasting. Amen. An absolute fast. Abstaining from both food and water. It's not recommended to go over 3 days without water. You may well hurt yourself. Acts chapter 9, verse number 9. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. So it has been done. It is in Scripture. What is more common, at least in our day, in our church, is a partial fast. That's what many of us have already been partaking in, is a partial fast. Restricting what you eat. Restricting what you do. It's not total abstinence from food. Prove that in Daniel chapter 1, verse number 12, prove thy servant 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink, or beans and water. Daniel and his companions proved that God would keep them strong, and they didn't have to eat the king's meat. You know, they were afraid that that meat was sacrificed to some false god. And they didn't want any part, they didn't want to take any part in that sacrifice to a false god. They were keeping themselves from that uncleanness. God blessed them. God blesses partial fasts. It is our responsibility to fast. By inspiration, the Holy Ghost prompts us to fast because of some special need. It may not even be known to us at the time. We may just have the burden, the need, the desire to fast. Our responsibility to fast is by inspiration. It's also by commitment. Dedication or dedication and consecration to God's cause demands that we fast simply because we are asked to do so. Spiritual disciplines cannot be carried out in the believer's life by inspiration alone. We also need to learn how to be obedient. It's a spiritual thing, not just physical. Amen. When asked to fast, we make our commitment. I'm not telling people what to commit, but what you decide between you and God, carry it out. Do it unto God. Unto the Lord. Do it for Jesus. Amen. Make your commitment and then keep your commitment to God. Examples of fasting. Moses fasted 40 days on Sinai. Deuteronomy 9:9. David humbled his soul through fasting. Psalm 35:13. Elijah fasted 40 days, 1 Kings 19:8. Ezra fasted for protection and guidance back to Israel from Persia, Ezra 8:21 to 23. Ezra fasted without bread and water because of sin, because of the sins of Israel. Ezra 10, verse 6. Nehemiah fasted and wept because the wall of Jerusalem was broken down. Nehemiah 1, verse 4. Israel, or the Israelites, fasted nationally. Nehemiah chapter 9, verses 1 to 3. Nineveh, the king, the animals, the citizens of that great city fasted with no food or water. Jonah chapter 3, verses 1 to 10. That great city, full of sin, would kill the prophets, fasted and prayed. Daniel, during a fast, God gave him the vision of the 70 weeks. Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 to 27. During a 21-day fast, the prince of Persia hindered the angel from coming with the answer. Daniel chapter 10, verses 1 to 21. We struggle in prayer and fasting. Amen. So did these people in the Bible, and so do we. It is a struggle, but it's worth it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Anna served God with fasting and prayers day and night. Luke chapter 2, 36 and 37. Jesus fasted 40 days. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 to 11. And he overcame Satan by the power of the word. It is written. Amen. Cornelius fasted 4 days. Peter came. Cornelius and his household received the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 10, verses 30 to 48. The church at Antioch fasted and prayed when sending forth men as missionaries. Acts chapter 13, verses 1 to 4. Paul fasted 3 days before his conversion. Acts chapter 9, verse number 9. And he fasted often. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 27. So there are many, many, many examples of fasting in Scripture. Isaiah describes a counterfeit fast and identifies what a true fast is. Isaiah chapter 58, verses 3 to 7. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast ye find pleasure, and exact all your labors. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush, and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? Is not this the day, the fast that I have chosen? He was telling the bad. Now he's going to tell the good. To loose the bands of wickedness, and to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out of thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? What should we do? What we should do? not do while fasting. We should not indulge in pleasures and exact all our labor. Verse number 3, Israel demanded servants to work with no time to pray or meditate or study God's word. Lay aside pleasure and as much business as possible that you can spend time with God. Another thing that you should not do, fasting for strife and debate. It's not that you have, that we can argue about it or brag about it. The Pharisees bragged about it. Luke chapter 18, verses 10 to 14. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. And the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even this publican. Talking about the guy that's standing next to him. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Fasting is not for bragging. Verse 13, and the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful unto me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For the one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. How about smite with the fist of wickedness? Israel continued in their wrongdoing and ill treatment of other people. Sin must be eradicated from our lives for fasting to please God. You can't keep sinning and please God just because you're not eating. You got to quit the carnal and do the spiritual. Amen. Fasting can help you conquer weaknesses. Amen. Another thing you're not supposed to do is make yourself look like a sad countenance. I know, after a little while of fasting, often you get weak. But do what you can to do the best you can to put a smile on your face and still love God. Amen. Praise the Lord. They disfigured their, you know, they've sucked their cheeks in. That may make you look like you've been fasting. Showing others that you're fasting is not our objective. Matthew 6:16 is that example. We don't need to appear unto men to fast. What we should do, the do list, while fasting. Loose the bands of wickedness. Verse number 6, what we just read. Undo heavy burdens. Lay aside physical and spiritual burdens. Again, verse number 6. Let the oppressed go free. Verse number 6. Give men freedom, forgive wrongs and offenses, and treat your fellow man right. How about this? Break every yoke. Again, verse number 6. Lay aside every weight and sin that besets us, breaking every yoke that binds us and keeps us from being spiritual. Give bread to the poor and the hungry. Literal spiritual bread to a starving world. Or literal and spiritual bread to a starving world. Clothe the naked, verse number 6. The bread thing was from verse 6 too. Spiritual and natural. I will greatly rejoice. Or this is from Isaiah chapter 61, verse number 10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with jewels. Isaiah 61:10. About hide not ourselves from our own flesh. We need to be honest with ourselves. Anoint your head and wash your face. Amen. It's good advice. Appear not unto men that we are fasting. Looking like you're fasting is not our objective. Fasting unto thy Father which is in secret. And he sees and rewards thee openly. Amen. Got just a little bit left, but I'm going to forgo this. Well, I got to say this one. For married couples, I got homework for you. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 1 to 5. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse number 1 through verse number 5. Amen. It tells couples what to do while you're fasting. You got to set aside carnal activities. Amen. Now, I gave the little testimony of the fasting and prayer when God gave us this church. I thought that was a pretty big thing in my book. I know God has healed. God has delivered. God has given direction. God has helped me over and over and over again. And many times after fasting. Amen. I know Brother Crowder, he's a man of God that fasts often. I can say that with confidence. And he, one of his words, he says, food is my enemy. Praise the Lord. Anybody got a testimony? You've been listening to some preaching tapes. You got just a word of testimony for us? She's been listening to the preaching tapes on fasting. I know she's got stuff. It's up there in her head spinning around right now. Want to give a 30-second testimony? No. Okay. Anyone else want to give a testimony about fasting? Go ahead.
Last year I had an issue at work, and I decided to fast during work hours and while during. I saw scripture and Proverbs 21:23 basically to keep my mouth shut. But it definitely taught me.
Really? Did you come up with one? Okay. When you fast, in closing, just a few comments. When you go to a greater level of fasting, you will have a greater level of control of your flesh. It's proportionate. And if you do, you know, a normal fast, which is no food, or a total fast, which is no food or water, if you are doing an extreme, I call that an extreme fast, right? And you do extended days of that, if you just are flesh, when you're coming off your fast, you want to go just shove stuff in your mouth. That's a really bad idea. Because you could physically hurt yourself. Your digestive system may plug up and you get real bad problems. You may have to have surgery. You know, it may do something really not nice to your body. So even if you do the greatest intentions, you still need to have wisdom when you go on the fast and when you come off the fast. So if you are fasting to a greater level than what your body is used to, when you come off that fast, eat soft, you know, applesauce or, or, you know, don't eat a steak, you know, don't eat something that's going to just be hard for your body to digest. Juices, fruits, broths, you know, something soft and saucy. So just use wisdom. I'm not asking people to hurt yourself, but I know God wants to bless us when we fast. Would you pray with me? Lord, I love you. I thank you. We ask even now, in Jesus' precious name, Lord, that you would draw us, God, unto you. Show us, Lord, of your glory. Help us, Lord, to serve you. Help us, Lord, to dedicate ourselves unto you, to do the things that you want us to do. Lord, even when we fast, Lord, I pray your help, your blessing, your direction, Lord. And Lord, let your will be accomplished in our lives. Thank you for it. In Jesus' precious name. Wonderful God. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.